I'm gripping the steering wheel so hard my hands hurt, but I don't loosen them. The phone is lit up on the passenger seat. I haven't answered yet. I already know what she's gonna say, because she always says it the same way. Not angry, not demanding, just disappointed enough to land. I tell myself to breathe, but my chest feels tight, like I've already agreed to something I don't want to do. The light turns green, and I don't move right away. Someone honks behind me. I flinch. My name is Marisol Reyes. I was 32 when I finally noticed how often my stomach dropped before my mother even spoke. The phone keeps vibrating. I imagine her sitting at the kitchen table, weeding. I imagine the silence if I don't answer. That silence scares me more than her voice ever did. I pick up the phone. I open my mouth. I already know I'm about to say yes. I wake up before my alarm because my phone buzzes. It's still dark. I don't even look at the screen before my body reacts. My stomach tightens. My shoulders pull up toward my ears. I already know it's her. There's a message waiting. Not a call. A message. Feels worse somehow. It means she's thought about what to say. I don't open it right away. I lie there and stare at the ceiling. I listen to my own breathing and try to slow it down. I tell myself I'm tired. I tell myself that's all this is. When I finally read it, it's short. Can you come by today? No reason. No greeting. Just that. I type back yes before I realize I've done it. I sit up in bed and put my feet on the floor. The room is quiet. My apartment is small, but it's mine. I chose the paint color. I chose the couch. I chose where everything goes. I remind myself of that while I get dressed. On the drive to work, I keep thinking about the word today. Today could mean anything. Today could mean she needs groceries. Today could mean she wants company. Today could mean she's upset and doesn't know how to say it without making it my fault. I try to focus on traffic. I try to focus on the radio. Nothing sticks. At work, I pretend everything is normal. I answer emails. I smile when someone asks how my weekend was. I say fine. I always say fine. It's easier than explaining how much of my time isn't really mine. Around noon, my phone buzzes again. After work, she writes, "Don't be late." I feel heat rise in my chest. Not anger, something heavier. Something like pressure. I don't respond. I already agreed. Growing up, my mother never yelled. She didn't have to. She had silence. She had sighs. She had the way she could look at me without looking at me, like I'd already disappointed her. She raised me by herself. That fact lives in everything. It's never said directly, but it's always there in the way she talks about sacrifice. The way she talks about being tired, and the way she talks about how lonely it is to do everything alone. I learned early that being good meant being available. After work, I drive to her house without thinking. My body knows the route better than my mind does. I park in the same spot I always do. I take a breath before getting out of the car. When I open the door, she's in the kitchen. She doesn't look at me right away. "You're late," she says. "I came straight from work," I say. I keep my voice calm. She hums like she's listening. She keeps stirring something on the stove. I stand there, unsure where to put my bag. I don't sit. I wait. "You look tired," she says finally. "I am." "Well," she says, "that's life." She asked me to carry some boxes from the garage. I do. She asks me to move a chair. I do. She tells me about a neighbor who stopped calling. She tells me about her back hurting. She tells me about how quiet the house feels lately. I nod. I listen. I know when to make small sounds so she knows I'm paying attention. At some point, she mentions my cousin, how often my cousin visits her mother, how nice that must feel. She doesn't look at me when she says it. Something in me tightens again. I feel small. I feel like I'm 12, standing in this same kitchen, trying to figure out what I did wrong. When I finally sit down, my phone buzzes. It's a message from a friend asking if I'm still on for tonight. I stare at it longer than I should. "Who's that?" my mother asks. "Just a friend." She nods slowly. "You're always busy." I want to say I'm allowed to be. I want to say I'm tired of feeling guilty for having a life. The words stay in my throat. She tells me she needs help with something important. She doesn't say what yet. She just says important. That word lands hard. "I was thinking," she says, wiping her hands on a towel, "maybe it would make sense if you came by more often. Maybe even stayed some nights. This house feels empty." I feel my chest tighten. I think of my apartment. I think of my bed. I think of the quiet I only get when I'm alone. "I live across town," I say carefully. She looks at me then, really looks at me. Her eyes are tired, not angry, tired. "I know," she says. "I just thought you'd want to help." There it is. Not a request, a statement. I swallow. I feel my heartbeat in my ears. I think about how many times I've rearranged my life around her, how many times I've told myself it's temporary. "I already help," I say. My voice sounds strange to me. She doesn't respond right away. She turns back to the sink. The sound of running water fills the space between us. I feel panic rise. The silence feels heavy. I want to fix it. I mean, I add quickly, "I can try." She turns the water off. She nods once. "Good. That's it. No discussion. No thanks." We eat dinner together. The food tastes fine. I barely notice. My mind keeps racing ahead, picturing nights spent here, mornings waking out tense, feeling watched even when she isn't in the room. After dinner, she tells me she's been thinking about her health, about the future, about how she can't do everything herself anymore. "You're all I have," she says softly. The words land like a weight. I nod because I don't know what else to do. When I finally leave, it's dark outside. I sit in my car for a long moment before starting the engine. My hands are shaking. On the drive home, I think about how natural it felt to give in, how automatic. I think about how I didn't even argue. At home, my apartment feels different, smaller, like it's already slipping away from me. I sit on the couch and stare at the wall. I don't turn on the TV. I don't check my phone. I just sit there, feeling the aftershock of the evening. I tell myself I'm overreacting. I tell myself this is what daughters do. I tell myself she needs me. But another thought keeps pushing its way in. Quiet, persistent. I don't remember agreeing to live my life like this. My phone buzzes again. A message from her. "Tomorrow, we'll talk about which days work best." I stare at the screen. My throat tightens. I realize I've crossed into something I don't know how to step back from. I tell myself I can handle it if I plan better. That's the lie I start with. The next morning, I wake up already tired. My body feels heavy, like I didn't actually sleep. I check my phone before I even sit up. No message yet. That should feel like relief. It doesn't. At work, I keep losing my place. I read the same email 3 times. My jaw hurts from clenching it. When my phone finally buzzes, my heart jumps hard enough that my chest aches. She wants to know what time I'll be there tonight. Tonight. Not asking, confirming. I stare at the screen. I don't answer right away. I tell myself I'm busy. I tell myself I'll respond later. 20 minutes pass, then 30. The longer I wait, the worse it feels. Like I'm building a debt. I type, "After work." 3 words. That's all it takes to ruin my mood for the rest of the day. I start going to her house 3 nights a week, then 4. I bring groceries. I take out the trash. I sit with her while she watches TV shows I don't like. I listen to the same stories, repeated slightly differently each time. She never says thank you. She doesn't need to. She smiles sometimes. She tells me she sleeps better when I'm there. She tells me the house feels alive again. I stop seeing my friends without explaining why. I cancel plans last minute. I tell myself it's temporary. I tell myself this is just a phase. My body starts to protest in small ways. Headaches, tight shoulders, a constant knot in my stomach. I feel short of breath for no clear reason. Sometimes I have to step outside just to inhale. One night, I tell her, I'm not coming over. I practice the words all day. I say them out loud in my car before I go inside my apartment. I'm not coming tonight, I text. I need to rest. The message shows as read. No response. The silence stretches. Minutes turn into an hour. My chest tightens. I check my phone over and over, even though I know there's nothing there. When she finally replies, it's just one sentence. I guess I'll manage. I sit on my couch and stare at the wall. My heart is racing. My hands feel numb. I hate myself for feeling relieved that she answered at all. I don't go over that night. I don't sleep either. The next day, she doesn't text. That feels worse than the guilt. It feels like punishment. By the time the weekend comes, I break. I show up with groceries and an apology already forming in my mouth. She doesn't say anything about the missed night. She's quieter than usual. She sighs more. She moves slower. I didn't feel very well, she says at one point, not looking at me. I'm sorry, I say immediately. She nods. It's fine. I know you have your life. The way she says it makes it sound like an accusation disguised as understanding. Something in me starts to crack. I feel it when I'm driving home. My chest feels hollow. I grip the steering wheel and blink hard, but my eyes still burn. I realize I don't know how to exist without managing her feelings. A week later, there's a family birthday dinner. Everyone is there, aunts, cousins, loud voices, plates clinking, laughter bouncing off the walls. I sit next to my mother, like always. At some point, my aunt mentions how nice it is that I'm around so much now, how lucky my mother is. She doesn't leave me alone, my mother says lightly. She takes care of me. People smile, someone pats my hand. I feel heat rush to my face. I want to disappear. I want to scream. I do neither. Later, in the kitchen, I say quietly, "You didn't have to say it like that." She looks surprised. "Like what?" "Like I don't have a choice." She frowns. "You always have a choice." The words hit me wrong. I feel something snap inside my chest. "It doesn't feel like it," I say. Her mouth tightens. She turns away and starts wiping the counter, harder than necessary. "I never force you," she says. "I just thought you cared." There it is again. Care as currency, love as obligation. I feel dizzy. My heart is pounding. The room feels too small. "I do care," I say, louder than I mean to, "but I can't be here all the time." She goes still. The silence drops heavy between us. "I see," she says after a moment. Her voice is flat, controlled. She doesn't speak to me for the rest of the night. I sit through dessert, feeling like I'm watching myself from far away. My hands shake when I hold my fork. No one notices. Or maybe they do and pretend not to. When I leave, she doesn't hug me. The drive home feels endless. My chest hurts. I have to pull over once because I can't catch my breath. I sit there with my hands on my knees, breathing shallow, waiting for it to pass. That night, I don't sleep. I keep replaying the kitchen scene in my head, every word, every pause. I imagine what I should have said differently. The next morning, my phone rings. I answer without thinking. Her voice sounds small, tired. "I don't feel well," she says. Panic floods my body. Guilt follows right behind it. "I'll come over," I say immediately. I don't even pause. At her house, she's lying on the couch. She looks fine, maybe a little pale. She waves me off when I suggest a doctor. "I just needed you," she says. I sit there, frozen. Something inside me sinks. I realize this is the moment, the one I won't be able to undo. I feel anger rise, sharp and sudden. It scares me. I've never felt it this clearly before. "I can't keep doing this," I say. My voice is shaking. She looks at me, truly looks at me. Her eyes fill with tears. "So now I'm a burden," she says quietly. The word cuts deep. I feel my resolve crumble. "I didn't say that," I say, even though part of me feels like it's true. She turns her face away. "I know what you meant." Something inside me breaks open then, not loudly, not dramatically, just a quiet collapse. I stand up. My legs feel weak. "I need to go," I say. She doesn't stop me. She doesn't look at me. I walk out of the house with my heart pounding so hard it hurts. I sit in my car, shaking, staring at the front door. I don't know if I'm leaving her or myself behind. I drive away anyway. The first thing I notice is the quiet, not the good kind, not the kind I used to crave. This one feels thin, like it could tear if I breathe too hard. I don't go back to her house the next day or the day after that. My phone stays face down on the table like it's something dangerous. I still check it constantly. I just don't let myself touch it. My body doesn't know what to do with the space. I wake up tense, waiting for the buzz that doesn't come. My stomach still drops at random moments, like it's memorized the fear and doesn't know how to let it go. At work, people say I look tired. I nod. I don't explain. Explaining feels impossible. Where would I even start? At night, I sit in my apartment and listen to sounds I never noticed before. The hum of the refrigerator, a car passing outside, my own breathing. It all feels too loud, like my senses are turned up because there's nothing else to focus on. I tell myself I did the right thing. I repeat it like a sentence I'm trying to memorize. It doesn't settle. She doesn't call for 3 days. That feels intentional. I know her well enough to recognize the shape of her silence. It's careful, measured, designed to be felt. When she finally texts, it's simple. "Are you alive?" My chest tightens. My fingers hover over the screen. I think about everything I could say. I think about how many versions of myself want to respond. I type, "Yes." That's it. She doesn't reply. I spend the rest of the day restless. I clean things that aren't dirty. I reorganize drawers that don't need it. My body is searching for a task, for a way to be useful. That night, I dream about being a child again, standing in her kitchen, holding a glass of milk I don't remember pouring. It spills everywhere. She doesn't yell. She just looks at me. The look is worse. I wake up with my heart racing. A week passes, then another. We exist in a new version of space, one where I don't know the rules yet. When we do speak, it's brief, polite, like we're strangers pretending not to notice it. She tells me she's fine. She tells me she's busy. She tells me not to worry. Each sentence feels sharp, like it's meant to remind me what I'm not doing anymore. I notice how much of her voice I've internalized. When I sleep in, I hear it telling me I'm lazy. When I order takeout instead of cooking, I hear it telling me I'm careless with money. When I sit still too long, I hear it asking what I'm doing with my life. None of it is out loud. That's what scares me. I try to see friends again. It feels awkward, like I forgot how to be present. I keep checking my phone even when there's nothing to check. One night, someone asks if everything is okay with my mom. The question hits me harder than I expect. "I think so," I say. I realize I don't actually know. The guilt doesn't disappear. It just changes shape. It's quieter now, more constant, like background noise I can't turn off. Some mornings, I wake up angry, not at her, at myself, for how long it took me to notice, for how easily I gave in, for how much of my life I organized around being needed. Other mornings, I wake up scared. I picture her alone in that house. I imagine her telling people I abandoned her. I imagine her getting sick and me finding out too late. The fear pulls at me. It almost works. One afternoon, I drive past her street without meaning to. My hands start shaking before I even realize where I am. I slow down. I look at the house. The curtains are closed. I keep driving. Later that night, she calls. I stare at the screen until it stops raining. My heart feels like it's trying to escape my chest. I sit there, frozen, long after the call ends. She leaves a voicemail. Her voice sounds calm, controlled. "I just wanted to hear your voice," she says. "Call me when you can." There's no accusation, no guilt. That somehow makes it worse. I don't call back that night or the next day. When I finally do, my hands are sweating. I feel like I'm about to confess to something I didn't do. We talk about nothing, the weather, a show she's watching, a sale at the grocery store. Neither of us mentions the space between us. It sits there anyway. "I miss you," she says near the end. I swallow. I know. The words feel incomplete, but they're all I have. After we hang up, I cry in a way that surprises me. Quiet, exhausted, like something old is finally draining out. I don't feel free. I don't feel healed. I feel aware. I notice how often I put other people's needs ahead of my own without thinking. How quickly I apologize. How uncomfortable I am with being disappointing. I see her in myself sometimes, in the way I withhold, in the way I expect. That realization scares me more than anything else. Weeks turn into months. The rhythm between us settles into something unfamiliar. We see each other occasionally, short visits, neutral conversations, careful distance. She still tries, sometimes. Little comments, little reminders. They don't land the same way anymore. They still hurt, just differently. I don't know what our relationship is now. I don't have a name for it. I don't try to give it one. Some nights, I sit alone and feel the absence of her like a physical ache. Other nights, I feel relief so strong it scares me. Both feelings exist at the same time. I stop trying to choose between them. I still love her. That hasn't changed. What has changed is that love no longer feels like a command. I don't know what will happen next. I don't know if this distance will hold. I don't know if she will ever understand why I needed it. I only know that for the first time, when my phone is quiet, I can sometimes tell the difference between her voice and my own. And sometimes that's enough to let me breathe.